All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. Welcome aboard, as hopefully you will enjoy the ride for the next 3 hours right here on ESPN 97.5. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here, as in Joel, and we are all ready to go after a full weekend of festivities in football, fun, a Friday in Beaumont, a Saturday for you in Beaumont.
Yes.
Everything's good in the world, fellas.
Lots of driving this weekend, lots of football, lots of fun. You know what was the big letdown for me this weekend?
What's that?
If I'm just putting it out there and being honest, the college football schedule.
It sucked.
It was garbage.
Yeah.
I realized we didn't even talk about college football on Friday, but that's how bad it was.
There
was
nothing.
There was nothing to talk about.
Nobody was talking about it.
Nope. It was a, I think college football sometimes does themselves a disservice with weekends like this.
Especially when you should start
at least,
hot.
You should have at least one marquee matchup every weekend that people get excited about. And if it's Cougars versus Cougars, no thanks.
No offense.
For a half that looked like it was going to be a good game going the Cougs way, as in U of H, and then the second half they just completely poo-poo.
Now, did I notice? Because I'll be honest, I wasn't really interested in the game all that much. Did they have it as the Cougs versus the Cougars?
No,
I didn't really pay attention.
Because I saw,
you know, they get
something
that
kind like
of gruff voiced guy that tries to sound like Houston, Texas. That's like the Energy Kickoff Classic with the Cougars of University of Houston taking on the Cougars of Washington State.
Oh, really?
At NRG Stadium.
I thought it was Cougs versus Cougars, but apparently not. Okay.
No.
This is also how you know it was a bad weekend for college football. When you look at the poll, very little movement. That means everybody had a cream puff.
Yeah, and the other thing is the biggest thing on Twitter, Nick mentioned Twitter, the biggest thing was the Sage Rosenfeld helicopter college version
boy.
Was like the only thing worth tweeting about. The dude that got airborne, spun around like a cyclone, and landed on his ass was like what everybody was tweeting.
Yes.
From that Mississippi State, right?
Was it? No, I thought it was Washington State. Or was it Mississippi State?
No, it was Mississippi State.
Was it Mississippi State?
Yeah, I believe it was Mississippi State.
The big mover in the poll was Virginia. They jumped four because they beat an awful Florida State football team. That's it. Everybody else kind of moving around a little bit here and there. Nothing special going on. Yeah.
There's a four-year-old in Tallahassee, I believe, that has started a lemonade stand to raise the funds necessary to buy out Willie Taggart as head coach at Florida State. Now, it's funny on the surface, but
that's,
you know,
outstanding.
So Taylor's four.
Yeah.
I cannot see I don't care how smart I'd like to think she is. Taylor is just learning week to week who the Packers' opponents are, the colors they wear, and things like that. There's no way Taylor is going to, A, have a lemonade stand, and, B, do it so that they can get their parents' least favorite coach fired.
Now, why wouldn't she have a lemonade stand?
I mean, I'd set it up for her. I found out because of all these new rules when we were talking about him in Texas that you no longer need a permit in order to do so, which I never would have gotten.
Yeah, you don't.
No.
That's true.
But I just,
you can also, Nick can send D-picks now, but go to jail.
Yeah,
so
when all those different rules and law, all those different laws came out. Yeah, that was the thing where I was
like, why do you want me to go to jail now? Dang.
I don't know, just because. I don't know. I feel salty today.
I guess that's fair. I want you to die. You want me to go to jail. It's all good.
Barry wants to try the producer/talent thing. Like,
what?
You want to get rid of Nick so you can get behind the glass?
Oh, God, no. No.
Try and do two at one?
No.
You don't want to be behind the glass, believe me.
No, because people go in there and interrupt him and No. You know me. I don't like people.
And if you're critical of your flagship's football team, you lose your job over it.
What?
Hey, you didn't hear that?
No. What did I miss?
Oh, yeah.
Some weekend dude is what I heard.
No, not weekend. The Knights guy that they brought in recently that was a one-man band. He did the show, and he produced it at the same time.
So he just sat in the room by himself?
Yeah, so he essentially was Nick,
and he was
on the air the entire time doing solo. So he was Charlie and Nick all in one.
Okay.
All right? And he evidently said some things that the Texans didn't like.
What did he say? Did he say Bill O'Brien was bad at timeouts? Because the truth hurts.
I don't know the exact quotes that got him in hot water, but it didn't just get him in hot water. It got him on the unemployment line.
I was told it was an accumulation of things, not just quotes, the questions, the quotes.
What did he ask?
He was the one who asked about the Matt Khalil injury, remember?
That was him.
To my understanding, that it was the same guy. And then he got this for an answer.
How's that for an answer?
Remember?
Yes.
I don't know if it's the same guy, but I'm pretty sure it is.
Well, that doesn't look petty at all, does it? That doesn't look terrible.
So, essentially...
That doesn't look like a franchise trying to control the message at all.
That I have any knowledge of this kind of situation, essentially from a flagship standpoint, when you have a team and you are the flagship, if the team says honesty isn't the best policy, well, then you got to follow it.
Really?
Yeah. It's been that way for ages, fellas. And I hate to say this,
Best policy?
No, if you're being honest about the team that you have on your airwaves and they have something to say about it.
It isn't the best policy when you work for
not
the team.
At
or if you have a relationship with them. Yeah.
Boy, I'm screwed if I ever get fired. Or I shouldn't say if. When I ever get fired from ESPN Radio. Mm-hmm. Because I can't. I don't know that I would be able to not be honest about what I think about a game or, a coaching decision or any of that stuff.
I've been the hitman enforcer where I've had to go to on-air talent employed by the station and tell them that that's not okay and you can't say those things. And then I have been the on-air talent who has had his wrist slapped because I couldn't be honest because if position player A for the Rockets is getting torched and I say so-and-so is playing awful, and he is lighting him up and blah, blah, blah. I got text messages that said, no, you say so-and-so is having a phenomenal game for the Celtics and killing it, but you do not say that a Rocket player got... And I'm like, are we not watching the same game?
I wouldn't know that I'd be able to do that, boy. That would be very difficult. I would need the freedom. I wonder... I don't obviously listen to 610, but I wonder if they've painted a rosy picture of this weekend. I mean, I'm sure that they have to say some of the truth, but maybe not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Like they give you a version of it.
So help you, Bob.
Yeah, like they give you a version of it, right?
That's pretty good.
I feel like, you know, maybe they're like, the offense struggled at times. Did they really?
They'll highlight the positives.
Yeah.
You know.
They won. It's a win.
Great team effort.
Did you notice that in the post-game presser?
Yeah. Great team win.
When they were asking him about questions, he goes, at some point he's talking and he goes, and we won. So that's important.
You could tell it was because he knew the end of the first half, didn't call a timeout. Question was coming.
Left. Yep.
Why?
He knew it was coming.
Twitter was torching that dude, and I was behind. I did a really good job. Like, I had to, because so... We did the TV show, and between that and traffic and everything, I didn't get home until – I didn't sit down to watch the game until 2:30. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Nora DVR'd it for me, so I started – so I couldn't tweet. I couldn't interact with it. I was way behind the whole time. I mean, I didn't catch up till the game was over.
It's an average day.
No, not true at all. I was there for week one, and I was in it to win it. But
no, I meant being behind us in terms of – it's fine. Never mind. I'm just playing.
Okay, we're going to –
Well, today you win.
All right, Mr. Okay. Document.
Yeah, today you win.
I want to go look and see, but I went later on that evening last night and was like going back through the timeline, and boy, he was getting torched
Lance
for not calling a timeout.
Lance had the best response of all time.
Yeah.
The one about, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you get for every timeout you don't use at the end of the year, you get a $20.
Yeah, he told me that in person at the press box. I was cracking up.
I don't understand why is this so difficult for Bill O'Brien? Does he need a timeout coach that just is like, hey, coach, now would be a good time to call a timeout? Does he need that?
Well, if you recall,
I don't understand why this is so difficult. If we all know it. And we're dumb, obviously, because when you talk to him, we're all idiots.
Right.
Well, I don't understand why he doesn't know it.
Well, if you recall, the punter used to be, Shane Lechler used to be the red flag coordinator. Because he was the guy that had to run down the sidelines and say, throw the challenge flag, because they missed this or did that. And that had happened in games, because he's always been kind of confused when it came to throwing the red flag. But then you get into this, and this is not obviously the first time this has happened, but it's like Seriously, at some point, if you can't do it, find someone who can. There are guys on the sidelines that are employed just to give the quarterback a hat to put on and to take his helmet and then to take care of the helmet and to switch off throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay a guy for that, you can pay a guy that's smart enough and paying attention enough to just these kinds of issues to go, you know, you still got two timeouts. You know, I mean, call one here and save 15 seconds.
Especially if, you know, okay, so he's got an OC, quote unquote, but he's mm-hmm. still calling plays. We know that. So if I get you're into the flow of the offense and you're not necessarily managing the game. Not that he was a great game manager when someone else was calling plays, but why not let another guy with, oh, I don't know, head coaching experience that may be paying attention, like, oh, I don't know, Romeo Crennel go, hey, you might call a timeout here in the headset. Hey, you have 50 seconds left. Now would be a good time to call the timeout.
Wait, you want Romeo doing that after the defense he called on the last play against the Saints?
I mean, damn, somebody on this, there's somebody on this coaching staff has to know that now would be a good time to call a timeout.
About you get an ex-head coach that you somewhat trust and value his opinion and that it would love to have a free paycheck still, and just call him a consultant and just stick him somewhere, whether it be in the press box hiding him or somewhere on the sidelines with a headset that can get to his headset that just says, okay, here's where I'd call timeout.
Again, what is Romeo Crennel doing while the offense is on the field?
No, but he's trying to worry about making sure that things don't happen like they did in the Saints game.
Yeah, no, 50 seconds left and a half he should be paying attention to. I don't know.
I'm sure Charlie Weiss is out there somewhere.
No.
Hungry for an opportunity.
I just don't understand.
Hungry for an opportunity.
Am I the only one? Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like they lost yesterday. I know what the scoreboard said. I feel like it was a loss yesterday.
Am I
totally being too negative?
I don't really think you are. I know you're going to get some hate on the text 610? Line for it, but
oh yeah,
you think I'm going to get some hate?
I mean, I think we all will. I mean, I was telling Joel before the show, Barry, that they should thank the camera angle gods because there was no conclusive evidence that showed that Reed didn't get the stop. But boy, it looked close to me.
Yeah.
It looked really, really close to me. I'm not saying the ball broke the plane. I'm just saying it looked close. So there was a lot of things that went right
with all the angles that, because Nick and I were talking about, with all the angles that the TV brings to the table, how did you not have reverse goal line so that you could see where the football was?
Yeah.
Every angle was just from the non ball side of the body, and you couldn't see where the ball was as it lined up with the goal line. And the other thing, to your point, was we were talking about this with Brandon from the website right before we came on the show, too, and it's like they did just enough to win to where it felt like they lost because of the fact that it was such a – everything is mediocre now, again. If you would have dominated and won and taken a rookie quarterback and taken them to task and pounded it down their throat and won by two touchdowns, they would be singing the Texans' praises all over the city. But they played just bad enough to win and get the mediocre tag.
And here's the thing is don't assume that they lose if Leonard Fournette gets that two-point conversion. Because remember,
Still
30 seconds left, and Deshaun Watson, it took two plays to get them down the field and get a touchdown. So I don't think we can assume that they don't get in field goal range. But
I mean, if Mitch Trubisky can do it, Deshaun Watson can do it.
Well, I mean, Deshaun Watson did it last week against New Orleans.
Sure, I'm saying just a field goal.
Yeah. But that's my point. So I don't think I would assume the loss, but you're right. It certainly would change the complexion tremendously, and it would have been nice if they had more angles. I mean, but you can always tell by the broadcast crew how much effort the NFL puts into a specific game. They didn't care about this game this week. This was not a high priority game for them. So
James Lofton called it.
Yeah, exactly. You know what should be a priority for you? Get Upside. That should be a priority because Get Upside gets you cash back for stuff you're paying for. Guys, I know there are a lot of you at Beaumont, the people were coming up and telling me that they're using GetUpside now and how much they like it. But there are still a lot of you out there that are maybe either skeptical or just lazy and you haven't put it on your phone yet. Do yourself a solid right now and download GetUpside on your phone. Go to your app store, whether it's Google Play or iTunes, it's in both of them. Type in GetUpside, all one word, and just install it. There's no contracts. There's no commitments. You don't have to. If you don't like the app, you do not have to use it. But I promise you, once you use it a little bit and you start building up this cash in your account, you're going to absolutely love it. And like I always say, you're going to thank me later. Because when you start, you know, let's say you download GetUpside, you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. And like some of the listeners that were telling me, you get $7 back on your first fill up. Hello, that costs you absolutely nothing to do that. It is completely free, this money that you're getting back. It's your money, actually, but you're just getting it back now when you pump gas. And same thing is true when you buy food. If you go out to eat at any of the hundreds of restaurants around the city of Houston and you're getting up to 35% cash back, imagine how quickly that could add up if you eat out every day like I do. I eat lunch every day out. If you're stopping and getting dinner, same thing. Guys, this money adds up quickly. There are listeners with over $400 in their account. And it's your money to do what you wish with. You can take it out in cash and do that, or you can get gift certificates or gift cards. Totally up to you, but you're going to love this app. ABC 13 did a feature on it. GetUpside is the real deal. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back, and hey, thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Minshew has time again. Lofts one up. Touchdown! DJ Chark! And the Jags are an extra point away from tying this one up. They run it. Up the middle, Fournette, extra effort. And did he get there? No! Fournette is stopped.
That was great. You know, that's what we practice. That's what we preach. You know, we stand up, we bulk up, and that's what they did. In pressure situations, we got to be able to, you know, stand up and take advantage of those and never fold, and that's what they didn't do. And defense did a great job of holding them the 12 points, and we did enough at the end to pull it off.
When just enough maybe isn't good enough, with the feelings of many in this city the day after a 13-12 win over the Jags, plenty to unpack here, as you just heard how it all unfolded late in the game, and then Deshaun Watson's comments after the game regarding the divisional win that was so key in the home opener.
It is a big win when you consider that.
Those are factors that have to factor in. And I know that everybody says, and there's so much truth to the fact that, hey, a W's a W. And in week one, when the Packers won ugly against the Bears, I said exactly that. A divisional win, in the case of the Packers, was on the road, but it counts like more like 1.5. So it's a big win. You get Jacksonville. You know that this division's wide open. You know that without Luck and without Foles, it's a totally different slate than it was before the season started. And you also know that starting 0-2 is not going to be good for you. They lucked out. Let's be honest. They lucked out last year. Okay, in the fact that they started out piss poor and they found a way to go on that winning streak and they found a way to win the division. But starting out 0-2 is not advantageous in this league. And so they avoided that. It just wasn't pretty in a lot of ways.
No, it wasn't. Go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything, my bad.
Oh, it wasn't, because there were so many, like, there were some positives, right? Chantrell Henderson didn't start. That was a positive.
For you, yes.
Oh, I think it was obvious.
Although I think in some of the replays, if you saw what Johnson did on that right side,
boy,
he whiffed on a few.
Side was still a sieve. Even the left side. I didn't think Tytus Howard had a good game. I thought there was just pressure from everywhere, but it was more obvious to me on the right side of the line all day long that they were overmatched.
Yeah.
But the secondary, I thought, looked a little better. There was two plays where, if you take those away, I mean, the fact that Gardner Minshew still had 213 yards passing isn't great. A rookie that's never started a game in his life. But you take away that 31-yarder and one of the 20-yard pass plays to Fournette, which was, you know, that's 51 of his 200 yards. So I thought overall the secondary did better. There wasn't Aaron Colvin out there just giving it up left and right. I thought Lonnie Johnson had a decent game. He had a nice pass deflection. I will say this, and this is just because I make notes as we go. Mm-hmm. So Bill O'Brien, because of the stop at the end by Justin Reed, he had a horrible tackle in the fourth quarter where he whiffed so bad with an arm tackle that I thought, wow, that's – I thought it was almost uncharacteristic, and I started paying attention to, is he just not as good a tackler as maybe I thought? Because it was so
Reed?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, he can bring it.
But this one, I don't know. And I was so mad I deleted it. I was going to record it and tweet it out. But I thought he obviously came up big. But there were times when I think still the secondary still has some issues because of the way that last drive and the way Gardner Minshew was able to tear them up.
I mean, I feel like he can play. I will say earlier in the game, there was like a massive lineman that just absolutely fell on top of Justin Reed, and he was a big dude, and he had to walk off the field.
Yeah, they helped him off, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I mean, he did what he had to do at the end there, but yeah, I guess sometimes there was a few plays, or maybe one or two plays, where he probably could have done a better job tackling.
I'll tell you this, from a Minshew standpoint, I give the guy a lot of credit, because he came in without any kind of priors in the NFL, and for 2 weeks, he kept his team moving the football. In week one, it was an uphill task against the Chiefs anyway. But you know what? He put up big numbers, and he didn't do anything to hurt them. But he didn't do too much. But it didn't feel like the situation was too big for him. And this week, that run on fourth down to get the first down, and some of the ways that he decided to tuck it and go, and then other decisions that he made, they could be a lot worse in terms of who they have. But with all that being said, from a Texans perspective, you just shouldn't lose to that guy or just barely win in the way they played, especially when the running game, again, looked good in terms of what they got out of Johnson and what they got out of Hyde. You know, even James Lofton said, if you're Jacksonville and you're looking at the way Hyde's running the ball, are you scratching your temple going, didn't we just have this guy on our roster?
I thought Carlos Hyde was great. I mean, 20 carries, 90 yards, average 4.5. And Duke Johnson had some good runs, but he also had some more bonehead plays.
You're on that. That's your thing. That's your guy.
Well, I will admit there was one play towards the end of the first half where he was open in the flat, and Deshaun Watson, when he ran around
that
the right
wasn't his
side.
Fault. That wasn't Duke's fault?
That was not Duke Johnson's fault.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I would have just dumped it out there and let him, because he had one-on-one with a linebacker, and I'd take my chances for that, as opposed to Watson rolling left and throwing into traffic with, you know, double coverage and all that. But there was one pass route he ran where he just quit on the route, and was wide open.
Through it.
And if he runs the route, that's probably a touchdown. And so you're like, oh, dude, what are you? So I'm hoping that these are just chemistry issues and knowing the playbook issues and not just Duke Johnson's kind of a bonehead on the football field issues. I'm hoping that's the case, but two weeks in a row, I've left the game shaking my head more at Duke Johnson than I am pumping my fist in excitement.
He's got to be concerned at the very minimum with the way Carlos Hyde is playing at the very minimum. So,
he's supposed to fill then.
Right.
Yeah.
They still get his reps, I would imagine. They're a tandem, you know.
Well,
to a
I don't think it's a tandem anymore. I think 2 weeks in, Carlos Hyde is the feature back. He's
probably
the first down, second down back, and if it's third and medium to long distances, Duke Johnson's in there.
Or if they want to mix it up, change of pace, one series every so however many. I mean, look, from a positive standpoint, I think exactly what you're talking about with the secondary can be said of the offensive line. This was the first chance that they got to work as a unit with more of the kind of players that we were thinking about being on that line. And yes, they had their faults. They didn't give up six sacks. They were able to run the football. Deshaun took some hits, but he didn't take as many. And look, from a Deshaun Watson standpoint, you found a way to win, and you didn't have your best game. You know, there were some throws you made that were really good, like the long out to Fuller.
The overthrown throws.
But a couple you missed that were, again, wide open in that kind of
He's definitely struggled with his accuracy.
Yeah.
I thought it was telling, too, if you look at touches by the running backs, Carlos Hyde with 20 carries, Duke Johnson had six, and targets out of the backfield, Duke Johnson had one target, no catches. So it was a different kind of game plan. It wasn't like
the dynamic is changing in regards to what their roles are, for sure, because he was supposed to be receiving more.
Yeah, and just the one target was a little bit surprising. But also, I did find it kind of weird. They kept running this motion where they would send.
Where they would almost bump into each other every time.
Yeah, I was like, I don't feel like that. I feel like there needs to be a little more spacing on this or something. I haven't seen that kind of wrinkle. Now, you know, when QT goes in, they'll do that sometimes. They'll fake a jet sweep. On occasion, it just seemed like they were doing that a lot.
Well, even on the one where Duke Johnson actually had a decent run out of it, Deshaun kind of went the wrong way, then turned around quick enough to just barely get it in, and they laughed afterwards. You wouldn't be laughing if you bumped into each other and it was a loss or a fumble or a turnover.
He also had, and when they started in the end zone on the one, they handed off to Carlos Hyde. Did you notice that he handed the ball off backwards? You know, normally you hand it off open.
Right.
He had to reach backwards and stick it in Hyde's breadbasket because it was just off again. It's like, I know that's going to happen with two new running backs, but man, it's just scary to watch.
So at least we accent the positives. There's things they're working on. There's chemistry that's going to get better. There's timing that's going to get better. So hopefully that's the case.
I don't want to hear anyone talk about Will Fuller's hands for a while. That dude made some really good catches last week and this week.
Until the fourth quarter when he had a big one. I mean, went,
Hopkins dropped some balls, but we're not talking about that. So, I mean, Will Fuller's hands, if nothing else, they have improved immensely.
So all that and still more to be discussed as the fact that one of the Texans' best players was in the box score. That's a positive. Mm-hmm. And we can also discuss on the other side of the field, if you think Bill O'Brien had issues, well, at least he wasn't Doug Marrone in a lot of ways. So we can talk about that as well. Second half hour of the show coming up. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I thought I played better than last week for sure. I mean, there's a couple holding calls out there that it's every week. And, you know, the ref literally admitted to me that the guy held me on one play and he didn't throw the flag. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. When after a play, I look over to the ref and he says, yes, I saw him hold you, but I didn't throw the flag. So, I'll probably get fined for this, and that's fine, but I don't know what to do with that.
So that was J.J. Watt after the game talking about the fact that, as I was talking about leading into the break, one of their best players finally registered in the box score. He played well. He had a recovered fumble. He had a hurry on the quarterback. He had some tackles. But I don't know if I want the comments from Barry on that. Or the fact that Mark Berman's little chuckle was cute.
I was just going to say, was that Mark Berman's chuckle?
Play that again just to find the chuckle so that Barry can hear.
I look over to the ref, and he says, yes, I saw him hold you, but I didn't throw the flag.
It sounds like a squirrel.
Was that Berman?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but it sounded like it.
Without a doubt, that's who that was.
That's not.
Boy.
That wasn't nice.
It was good. It was nice for Jesus Watt to show up. Good for him for finally getting in the box. Well, I did think he had a good game. I mean, his numbers weren't off the charts again, but I do think he had a really good game. Again, a lot of pressure. Whitney Mercilus had another great game. Defensively, I thought they played well. There was definitely much more pressure. Now, this is a Jags team that was minus Cam Robinson, so they should have been getting pressure on Gardner Minshew. And you also talked about a rookie quarterback that's trying to make his reads and progressions in the NFL, and that can be a lot more difficult.
Sure.
Thought the defense played good. I really didn't have a lot of knocks other than, you know, that I talked about that whiff tackle. And that was just a note that I made. I was like, God, he whiffed something awful. It was almost like he was scared of the contact, which I didn't know him to be that kind of person. But outside of that, I thought the defense played well, and it was good to see Watt on the field actually making an impact in the game this time around.
And I think from the Mercilus perspective, we were asking the question when they moved Clowney out, who was going to step up? And at least early on, he's shown signs of being that guy and getting back to the form he was a couple years ago when he was disruptive. He's had a couple of sacks now to start the year, and he seems like he's the kind of guy that can complement JJ so that they can move JJ around a little bit. Because you're right. I thought JJ played a hell of a game because, simply put, he's still going to be the emphasis of every offensive blocking scheme that comes at the Texans. And they know that. We talked about this. You're going to have to move him around. And when you move him around, he's going to have to find those weaknesses, those key matchups he can exploit. But for the most part, because they paid so much attention to him, it opened up some opportunities for other people.
It was good to see Brendan Scarlett show up a little bit early. And Zach Cunningham.
I thought he had a good game.
My gosh.
I thought he had a pretty good game.
Yeah, you're right.
I thought he had a really good game. Yeah. And he stepped up big. So a lot of positives, I think, you take away. I thought Tashawn Gibson played pretty well. In the secondary. A lot of positives to take away from the defensive side of the ball. A lot of it, though, you know, again, a late drive in the game. I don't know if this is conservative play calling on the part of Romeo Crennel again or just poor execution, but they give up the late touchdown. They get lucky on the goal line stand on the two-point conversion. But, That's the kind of stuff that you're going to have to clean up as you play better teams. This Jags team, especially without Nick Foles running their offense, and Leonard Fournette is a shell of himself.
Well, he sure is.
But this should have been a 30-12 game, not a 13-12 game.
Yeah, and I think that was the point I was making early on. If they get a double-digit win here, people are giddy about the fact that, hey, after putting up a hell of a fight against the Saints on Monday Night Football, and we all know that the first week of the season, teams aren't going to be what they're going to be by midseason, then you come back home and you make a statement in the division, and you're like, you know what? It's going to be a hell of a good team this year. But now you're looking at it, and you're going, seriously, with all the positives that we've been mentioning, and even though Deshaun wasn't on his A game, there's no reason why this team shouldn't have won by at least double digits.
Yeah, because the missed opportunities is what kind of overshadows all the good things that they did on defense. I mean, you had back-to-back penalties by Brandon Linder. You had back-to-back penalties by the other Will Richardson, who I'm not even sure is going to be a Jaguar after that game. He had a terrible game, and both times you didn't take advantage of those opportunities. So that's the reason why I was the guy that said that, you know, they wouldn't break double digits against the Saints. They absolutely shattered that, and then they barely.
Yeah.
Put double digits up against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think some of that, give credit to the, especially in the passing game being shut down, give credit to Jalen Ramsey. I mean, sure. He took away.
Oh, no doubt.
He took away DeAndre Hopkins for the most part. I mean, Hopkins had a fairly pedestrian game, all things considered. I mean,
it wasn't happy at the end of the game, though.
Eight targets, five catches for 40 yards for Hopkins. So Jalen Ramsey did his job, even though I think the big story coming out of this is, what happens with the relationship between him?
How do you go forward, right?
And the head coach going forward? Because that, I mean, you swung at the head coach twice.
I don't know how many people saw it because they downplayed it on the replay. But as he walked away the first time, he swung back. No doubt about it. And then you and I were talking about it during the break. When the tweets were coming out during the game with people that had different angles, the fact that when Marone went back to him for round two to say his piece, the two other defensive backs, the way they jumped up with the speed they jumped up with, you know, he had to say something that absolutely was not going to sit well, regardless of whether it was offensive or not. But now you're like, okay, you already know he showed up for training camp with a Brinks truck. He wants money or he wants out. But it's crazy to think if Nick Foles is still quarterbacking this team and this team is doing things, maybe this has you could downplay this and you could smooth it over. But because of the fact that they're struggling and now you're looking at this kind of stuff and going, does Doug Marone have control of his team?
Well, this is it's going to be interesting what he does, because think about this. You're going to discipline Jalen Ramsey. You're going to suspend him for a game. And now everyone's going, hey, you can't do that. That's our best. That's literally our best defender in the secondary. And you're going to suspend him for a game. Are you going to not do anything? And now you look like a pushover and you lose the locker room because you didn't stand up to him. I think they probably meet somewhere in the middle. He gets fined a big fine, you know, team fine internally, something like that. And I don't know what
they got a Thursday night game, so they're going to try and brush this under the rug. But here's the thing. Did you hear his post-game?
Pretty bad look, no.
Don't tell me for a second, Doug Marone, when you're asked what happened with Jalen Ramsey in the first half, and he goes, oh, I don't even remember.
You are such a liar.
I don't even know what you're talking about because, you know, it's a long game, and I'm sure it was something. But then the follow-up question was, well, it seemed like Jalen wanted you to throw the challenge flag on a completion, and then he went into great detail about that and that particular call, and I'm like,
which, by the way,
you BS artist,
Ramsey,
you
know, was wrong if that's why he was pissed, because Doug Marone was right to not throw the challenge flag on that. Whatever information he was getting in his ear was correct, because it looked like a catch when you watched it. But at first glance, it didn't look like a catch.
Sure.
But even the replay of specialists that they have in the booth said, yeah, that was definitely the right call to not challenge.
But my point is, don't tell me I don't even remember, and then 30 seconds later go, well, we got a process when we're going to challenge something, and we've got a system in place, and we've got guys that are going to say something and look at something and do something. You knew exactly what happened.
I tell you what, remember there was a lot of talk about Jalen Ramsey and DeAndre Hopkins joining forces before the season started. I think the Texans look at something like that, and Bill O'Brien looks at something like that and says, yeah, we can find another cornerback somewhere else that can play. That's not.
I feel like Jalen Ramsey would cut you.
Because, could you? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He would totally cut
your
ass.
Could you imagine if that's what Jalen Ramsey does with Doug Marone? If he was with a coach like Bill O'Brien, who is the worst in the NFL at challenging plays and calling timeouts? He would literally stab him on the sideline.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey is not to be messed with. He will Latrell Sprewell your ass.
But I'll
real
say this.
Quickly.
If you got a coach that he respects, he may act differently, too. That's sure. why I'm saying I
Another
don't know that he's
going to
survive and be the coach of the Jaguars much longer. And obviously, they have a Thursday night game, so you can't make a switch now. But watch that bye week. Watch when they got things coming up, because it looks like he's losing control of a locker room if he's got a player treating him like that. Man, he's not stepping up. So, interesting things there from the Texans. If you guys want to join us and talk some Texans, or you got other things on your mind in the NFL, Clarence, we already know. HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. Text that number. You can always hit us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects, back with a whole lot more as we're just getting it going in hour number one, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go, wherever you may be on Monday here in Houston. Other news of the day, as it relates to NFL games yesterday, lots of major quarterback issues across the board. If you watch Sunday Night Football, you know what I'm talking about, because of the hits and the concussion protocol and everything that was going on in that game with Carson Wentz. But more so to even two bigger names, Ben Roethlisberger had an elbow issue. Really, it happened on a throw. He left the game. He would not return. And the announcement came this morning. He's out for the season. Mm. So Steelers fan Juan, condolences to you. I would think your season goes with it. But Big Ben out. As he will be looking at surgery, and then more surgery, as Drew Brees high-fived Aaron Donald mid-throw in a game that everybody was hoping was going to be a shootout scoring festival. But once Drew exited stage right, so did the Saints' chances of winning that game. Now they're going to play without him for a minimum of 6 weeks, as he, too, will have surgery, but on his thumb.
Now I got to ask Sigmund Bloom about Michael Thomas on my fantasy team. Got Jared Cook on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Speaking of our fantasy teams and...
I was going to say on the Drew Brees thing, boy, if you're Alvin Kamara, you've got your work cut out for you, because teams are going to be keyed on him.
Thank you, Twin Peaks, for our three fantasy teams.
Okay.
Because you gave me the opportunity to shellac Clarence and get bragging rights, and hope and thankfully I got it done in week one, because I have Alvin Kamara, I have Drew Brees,
that's right,
I have Geis of the Redskins of 6 weeks.
Oh, I hope you have Vinatieri.
I did not have Vinatieri.
I dropped him.
I have him on one of my teams.
I dropped him. Thank God.
Yeah, I gotta get rid of
him. I had N'Keal Harry, who was a rookie that was supposed to be great for the Patriots wide receivers group. Now, he's not needed, and he's also... many injuries.
How great would it have been if he drafted Drew Brees, and then as the backup, he got Ben Roethlisberger?
Now, that would be Jake Asmus.
Oh, no!
Jake tweeted about that this morning.
Oh, yeah. That's so great.
Jake's two quarterbacks were Brees and Roethlisberger.
I'm so happy to hear somebody had that happen to them, just because I'm a hater. I love that so much.
I went without a quarterback. I got a -5 from Drew Brees yesterday, and I was still in it going into last night's game, but I don't think there's any chance I could have pulled it.
I think Fitzpatrick had a -1.8. I thought that was funny, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way, because... after all the injuries I just told you about, I had a chance, but guess who my guy was last night?
What?
Oh, a certain Eagles receiver that pulled a groin in the first 2 minutes.
Jackson?
No.
Aguilar.
Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey. So he went out right after kickoff, and I went, yep, and every chance I had of pulling off a miracle just went out the window, too. So we might as well just press the total reset button.
So you're 1-1, I'm assuming.
1-1, yes.
All right, so I don't think... is the Steelers, they're done for the year?
I think they're
over with?
I think they're done.
Do you think they finished with a winning record at least?
Boy, I don't know. It just depends on how the rest of that division, because we all know that Baltimore's rolling right now at 2-0.
Yeah.
Cincinnati looked good last week, didn't look so good this week.
Yeah.
And
they don't have the hardest schedule.
Cleveland's going to tell you a lot tonight.
I was looking at it. So they play the Giants. I mean, the Niners next. That's going to be an issue for them, I think. Niners are rolling right now. Defense looks good.
Jimmy G's playing well.
Yeah. Then they play the Bengals, who are up and down. That's a division game at home. But they got Baltimore, the Chargers. Then they got the Dolphins. But they still have some work cut out for them. I mean, they got the Rams on their schedule. They've got the Bills, who are looking pretty good.
So they have the South Florida bye week to at least get a win.
Right. They've got a bye week and then Miami, so they have two bye weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's they still haven't – yeah, they haven't played a division game yet, and they don't have Ben Roethlisberger anymore.
Yeah, they're done.
That's bad.
I think you got to be at least tempted to hit the reset button at this point if you're Pittsburgh. I mean, you lose Bell. You lose Brown. Brown ended up having, you know, not probably not the best game in the world, but a good game with the Patriots.
All things considered, yeah.
And now you've got Big Ben out for, you know, the entire year.
Yeah, the killer bees are killing them because Brown and Bell are gone and Ben is going under the knife.
I tell you what, this is, it does beg the question. If you're the Steelers, how much do you consider giving the Dolphins a run for their money in tanking?
Yeah, I was thinking
because
the same thing.
Big Ben's getting old. And you need that quarterback of the future. And if you could finish top four or five in the draft with a bad record, you could possibly snag Big Ben's replacement going forward, as kind of luck would have it, so to speak. I think I certainly consider it. And I know they still have, you know, Connor and Juju Smith-Schuster and some guys, and that defense is pretty good. I don't know. I don't condone tanking. But at this point,
I'm with you because here's the thing. Mason Rudolph was drafted to be the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger as he learned and kind of went along for the final couple of years of Ben's career. Now he's going to be thrown to the Wolves, and he's going to be their starter.
He didn't look bad.
No, and I think he can do some things. I think he's got some talent. But I think to your point, when you think about the guys that they could possibly have to choose from, whether it's the kid from Oregon, Herbert, or whether it is Tua or whoever it may be, you're going to return to a couple of top-notch quarterbacks at the top of this draft to where, you know, Miami may or may not take one of them if they believe or don't believe in Josh Rosen. But there's plenty to go around where you could get another guy that could really be helpful for you.
If I'm Mike Tomlin, Juju, come here. Let me talk to you real quick. Just in my office. Shut the door behind you. Yeah, just me and you. Hey, is that hamstring bothering you? No, coach, I'm good. Oh, man, I hate to hear that. What do you think? You missed 6-8 weeks? Huh? Now, you know, it's going to be sore. You're probably out for most of the year, right? What? Nah, man, it sucks. Oh, well. You tried.
Because you think about it.
I'm not letting that dude go out there. No.
They've got some young talent, too.
No way.
Because you know that Connor's better than serviceable. You know Juju is, like you said, is a talent. On the defensive side of the ball, they've got Watt. They've got Bush, the kid they drafted from Michigan this year, that by all intents and purposes, everybody says, this dude's got a lot of talent.
I think Connor's gone, though, right? James Connor, he's injured.
But I'm just saying, he can play, right? So what I'm saying is you've got a good enough nucleus that even if you do somewhat mail it in for the rest of the year, it's not like the cupboard is bare like it is in Miami.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out about Connor today. He's supposed to have a test on his knee, so.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll find out for sure what his status is. But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you lose Connor for any length of time, you know Roethlisberger's out for the year. Hey, Juju, shut the door behind you.
Well, and here's the thing.
That's it.
So we say
star
all that.
Player at this point.
We say all that about the Steelers. What do we say about the Saints? After 6 weeks, will the Saints still be in it
with
a chance to win it?
But, see, I think they're not as bad as the situation as the Steelers. I mean, I think you have – if it's really only 6 weeks, they're in a crap division, okay? Bridgewater can manage for at least 3-4, maybe even 5 games, you still have a playoff run in you.
They're 1-1, not 0-2, so they're not in a complete hole. He definitely, obviously, Teddy Bridgewater still may want to be one of the better quarterbacks in their division, even though he didn't look great in this first week. Look what you're dealing with. Cam has been all over the map.
Get ready for
Jameis has been awful.
I tell you what, don't sleep on the fact that Taysom Hill might get a steady dose of Wildcat.
They started talking it at the end of the game last night that instead of just the Wildcat, this guy's such a freak athlete that whether Teddy plays well or not, whether it be a two-headed monster at quarterback or however they do it, that Hill's going to get his opportunities because the team believes in him enough to make him a part of the offense. He already knows the playbook. He's played enough to where it's not going to be stage fright. And you got to see what you can do. But look, they can manage their schedule for the first 6 weeks of the season. And as long as they're within a game or two, you got to believe the Saints can still get win the division.
Yeah, it's manageable. I mean, at least Bridgewater isn't a rookie or a young quarterback that doesn't have any NFL experience. He had those first couple of years in Minnesota where he showed a little bit of promise. And I was thinking about this last night, too, with Bridgewater. And isn't it interesting how a couple years ago, as Texans fans, everybody, including us, were losing our mind that Texans didn't move up and get him? And now you look back and you realize who the quarterback is for this franchise, and you go, wow,
it's right move.
They got lucky.
How about two fun facts?
Up and getting him.
How about two fun facts? When they were talking about him, they mentioned that he was a Pro Bowler. And I was like, when? I don't even remember
Bridgewater
that.
Bridgewater was
but
a Pro
one
Bowler?
Year with the Vikings.
The second year.
Yeah. He was a Pro Bowler. And here's the other thing. He's the highest paid backup quarterback in the league this year, making over $7 million a year.
Yeesh.
And he still throws with a glove on, too. Yeesh. All right, so we can talk about that. Our correspondents covering the Saints and the Steelers.
Oh, two teams nobody here cares about. And then
we just talked about
our
holding. What's the phrase we got to use for Clarence just so that he can go absolutely ballistic on the air? We'll find that and talk about it next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.